anybody need a break? Case number 6-23-055, it is a Waterford case.
Good morning.
Okay. Counsel, please identify yourself for the record.
Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant.
Sir, can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name, indicating the authority you're representing here today?
Sure. Chief Mark Balstrassi, MARCBALESTRACCI, Chief of Police, Town of Waterford, Connecticut.
Sorry, Chief, if I had known it was you, we would have called you much earlier. I apologize.
Okay.
Okay, Chief, would you like to make an opening statement?
Sure. Good morning. The denial of the appellant is based on the inaccurate and incomplete documentation provided on the application. This document clearly details the requirements and is signed by the appellant and notarized attesting to its accuracy. It is also based on suitability, based on the appellant's criminal history involving violence, weapons, drug charges, and interfering with police investigations.
Thank you, Chief. Attorney Sherman, would you like to make an opening statement?
I'll pass on the opening statement, but I just would like to ask the Chief quickly on the record if he were to submit a correct application as far as the disclosures on the application. Would you issue him a permit?
Can you answer?
Yes.
No, I also have suitability
okay.
down as a
That's result. What I wanted to know. Thank you.
All right.
In the interest of judicial economy.
I appreciate that. Chief, you may proceed with your case.
Thank you. As for the application accuracy, the appellant discloses arrests that have been dismissed or nollied. He fails to disclose arrests that he was found guilty of and is required to be disclosed on the application. This being a mistake or intentional causes concerns. If it was a mistake, then the appellant fails to understand the clearly laid out process when applying for the permit, as firearm possession, storage, and carrying all have detailed rules, guidelines, and/or laws pertaining to it. I'm concerned the appellant would not be able to understand and therefore be in compliance if unable to follow the application process itself. If it was intentional, then I have many other concerns and questions. What else the appellant would not be disclosing, including the intention of having the ability to carry a firearm. As for the suitability of the appellant, I already mentioned the types of crimes that have been levied against the appellant. One particular arrest I have firsthand knowledge as I was the supervisor on the call in which a fairly minor neighborhood dispute resorted to violence by a family member of the appellant. When police were investigating the incident, the appellant intentionally lied and interfered by misleading police about a weapon brandished on that call. Eventually, the appellant did retrieve and surrender the weapon to police, but only upon the direction of his family member who was under arrest and was concerned about a search warrant being applied for on the residence. The inability to understand and follow process as well as the behavior of the appellant known by his disclosures and our background review caused me to deny the application.
Cross-examination.
Thank you, Chief. I just wanted to make sure you didn't specify the case you were just discussing, the neighbor situation. Is that the 2017 Waterford case?
Correct.
You're referring to? Okay. I want to make sure that we're talking about the same thing. I have nothing further.
Okay. Does the board have questions of the Chief?
What were the two arrests with convictions that the appellant failed to disclose?
Sure. So in 1999, he was arrested by the West Olean Police Department for trespassing, receiving stolen goods, and conspiracy. The charges were amended to a misdemeanor conspiracy and larceny. He was found guilty with a $500 fine and 1 year of probation, did not disclose on the application. In 2017, he arrested Waterford with a neighbor who was threatened with a taser. He was arrested for interfering.
Chief.
I apologize. The appellant was found guilty on a agreed upon lower offense of creating a public disturbance, and there was a bond forfeiture on that case.
And what was the original charge, if you recall?
Interfering with an investigation.
And since we're there, could you go into a few more details about that 2017 incident?
Sure. So neighbors, there was a fairly young woman, early 20s, who would walk her dog up and down. It's a dead-end street, a lot of houses, tight area. The appellant's guest with him today, and the woman had a couple interactions, which caused to a verbal argument, and the appellant's family member was arrested for chasing around the young woman with an electronic control device. This was a complicated case, several people involved. It made the local paper in our area, but ultimately the family member was arrested on threatening charges, and the appellant took the ECD, the electronic control device, hid it in the attic of the house so we would not find it. Again, as we got witness statements and we had actually a video on the scene that it hit social media, we continued our investigation. The appellant did eventually go up into the attic with us and retrieve it for us, and he was arrested for interfering. I was the sergeant on that call.
And so it was the appellant's brother that was arrested for the threatening, or he said, I messed up.
Yeah, it was a family member. I don't quite recall the relationship. I may say stepson, but I could be inaccurate.
That's fine. Okay. I missed what you said. So that's fine. Any incidents, to your knowledge, since 2017 with the appellant?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's all I have.
Other questions by the board?
The appellant did disclose other arrests before, did not?
Correct.
Okay. And what were they for?
Those were cases that were dismissed or annihilated. I have to share those here. Just give me 2 seconds. So he had wrote, the appellant had wrote, extradition arrest, no warrant, disposed of in 2020. Breach of peace, second degree, disposed, 2007. Breach of peace, second degree, disposed and dismissed, 2009. Possession of narcotics, disposed and dismissed, 2010. Failure to keep narcotics in the original container, disposed and dismissed of 2010. Those were not required to be listed. However, those were his disclosures.
Okay, and so you didn't conduct any investigation into those?
Did not.
Okay, thank you.
One quick follow-up on his application under the, have you ever been convicted under the laws of the state question? He didn't, he checked neither yes or no.
Correct.
I'm not sure what to put here, but see additional sheets. Were those included in our packet? Were those the?
I see them in mine.
Okay, though I'm just, seeing if it's the same.
These are the, from the courts.
Like those, I just didn't know who's.
Most of, they all say non-disclosable knowledge.
Yep, I didn't know if that was the ones he attached. That's what I just followed.
Okay. So those were provided by the appellant?
As far as I know, yes. I'm not the one who actually collects paperwork, yep. But I believe it was provided by
the appellant. I didn't know. I just seeing if the appellant attached those, did you attach that? Thank you, sir.
Other questions for the chief? Do you have any other witnesses?
I don't.
I have a question, please, for the chief, if you don't mind. Just to follow up on everything that's been asked here, Chief, on the 2017 case with the neighbor that resulted in a conviction, there was a conviction for creating a public disturbance, correct?
As far as
that. And that's an infraction, right?
Correct.
And to the best of your knowledge, infractions don't even show up on a state police record check, right?
I believe they do not.
Okay. And then that's not a crime, an infraction.
I disagree with that.
Oh, okay. You can't go to jail for it. It's not a misdemeanor, it's not a felony. Same category as running a stop sign, right?
I disagree with that. It's under the 53 statutes, which is the criminal statutes in Connecticut, creating a public disturbance.
Okay, but it's an infraction, right?
It is an
infraction. And running a stop sign, that's also an infraction, right?
Running a stop sign is an infraction.
Letting a dog roam, that's an infraction too, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions? All right, Attorney Sherman, it's your case.
Okay, I'm going to do something a little bit out of the ordinary here. No, maybe I'm not. We'll do it the ordinary way. I'll give it a second.
Okay.
I'm going to call the appellant first, but I'm going to reserve the right to call him again because we may just get to a certain point with him, and then I'm going to call the appellant's spouse, because I think it will make more sense to the board. Let me ask you first about the information you put down on the application form, okay? When you were filling out this application, and you were asked about, have you ever been arrested? Did you take some steps to get some information to provide to the police?
Yeah.
What did you do, please?
I went down to the courthouse to get
please,
the...
Please, you got to speak up so we can...
Oh, I'm sorry. I went down to the courthouse to get the background check and everything for everything that I had, so that's all I thought I had to do was go down there and get it, and that's the papers that I included in the back.
So which courthouse did you go to?
New London.
New London.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you the papers that are in what the issuing authority gave to the board. Do these look like the papers that you got from the court that say
yes.
Non-disclosable nolly, and they have dates like 07 and so on?
Okay. Yes.
So you provided those papers?
Yes.
Okay. And and you've looked at those papers. There's nothing in those papers about the 2017 case,
no.
Correct?
Okay.
So you just provided whatever the court gave you?
Yes.
Okay. And there's nothing in there about the Rhode Island case. When you went to the court, did you think they would also be giving you the Rhode Island?
I thought that was all on the same thing. I didn't know it was separate, you know, two different states or two different things. I thought it was all on the record at one point,
okay.
In one spot.
We talked about that, and now you know that you'd have to go to Rhode Island to check. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Okay. The Rhode Island case, 2010, am I correct? No, 2000, right? 99, sorry. The 1999 case in Rhode Island. How old were you at the time of that?
I was 18.
Please, you've got to shout it.
18. I've got right here in H. So.
All right.
I was 18.
18. And can you tell the board what was that about, please?
Hanging out with the wrong people, just going in there, being young and stupid.
Going where? Where?
Into
what?
Into a junkyard.
You went into a junkyard?
Yeah.
Auto junkyard?
Yes.
To do what?
I was with the other kids, and they were taking parts, and I was just with them in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Were you taking any parts?
No.
Okay. And on the 2017 case, I think I want to call the appellant's spouse first, please. That's okay.
You're going to come back to him?
I am.
Okay, go ahead.
I am. Okay. So you're the appellant's spouse, is that correct?
Yes.
We're not going to use your name?
Correct.
You know the 2017 case in Waterford that we've been
Very
talking
well,
about?
Yes.
Okay. So you were involved in that case, right?
Yes.
Okay. So would you tell the board what happened, please?
I was coming home from getting coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, my normal day to every night thing. It was about 10, maybe 10:30-ish. I don't remember exactly what time it was. I pulled in. I saw the girl that lived up the road with her dogs on my street. And I'm like, why is she down here? Like she, but prior to that, she was coming down randomly over the past couple of weeks, and I just didn't know why. So I brought my coffees in, went out, shut the door behind me, and went outside to approach her and ask her what she wanted, because she had said she approached me when I got out the car with my coffees in my hand. She asked if she could speak with me. Sure, no problem. Brought the coffees in, shut the door, went back outside. She started rambling on about me harassing her, calling her, like threatening her. I had no idea who she even was or what she wanted. Come to find out, long story short, she was friends with neighbors behind us that we had issues with that were druggies. So tried to leave it alone. It escalated. She let her dogs loose. The neighbors all came outside. The neighbors were taking pictures, posting it on Snapchat. Next thing you know it, my older son, who did not live with me at the time, comes flying down the road. And I'm like, oh God. Literally, I'm like, no, we don't need this. He gets out the car and he tells her, take your dogs and go home. My pregnant neighbor across the street was outside. Everybody, like the whole neighborhood was outside. Everybody, the girls that lived next door, the kids that were down there, they were all outside seeing everything going on. Then my son was like, go home, take your dogs, go home. She started getting dramatic. Oh, I'm gonna have you arrested. And I'm not gonna lie, I threatened her. I told her, I said, if you do not leave my property, which I mean, I don't own, I rent, but I said, I will whoop your ass. Like, I was so mad. Like, why are you approaching me at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night? Like being weird, you know, standing outside my driveway, like just random. It was just very weird. So that all escalated. My son went after her with a phone, not an actual taser, but I can get into how that taser came about.
Well, tell the court about what do you mean by he went after her with a phone?
The phone had an app on it, and the app was the taser, and it lit up with the flashlight, like just like any app, like if you so can download so many different apps.
When you say taser, do you mean a stun gun with the two little electrodes?
Yeah.
A little spark jumping between the two of them?
It was lighting up and making noise.
So does this app generate an image on the screen that looks like a stun gun?
Yes, and it also makes the flashlight go off.
And a crackling sound?
Yes, very loud.
And in the dark? It would look like a taser?
Oh, absolutely.
Or, I'm sorry, a stun gun? 100%. You wouldn't really see the phone, maybe,
yes,
in the dark?
Okay,
so it'd be kind of convincing if somebody held it up on a dark night.
Yeah.
Okay, so your son was doing this?
Yes, my son.
Where was your husband at the time?
He was in the house with our then 3-year-old and 10-year-old. He had no knowledge. He was not outside at all.
So he was not involved in this incident?
No.
Okay. He wasn't outside when you came home?
No.
He didn't come outside during all the commotion?
No, he don't do drama. We have an AC, and we live in a duplex, and the AC is like right by the front door, so he wouldn't have even heard it.
Okay. All right, so go on. So your son had this app on his phone, and he was menacing this neighbor with it, and what happened then?
And then she took off, the cops came, the cops kept saying, where's the taser, where's the taser, where's the taser? And he said, I don't have the taser. He kept getting bullied, told that they were going to take him straight to Corrigan if he didn't have a taser. And he looked at me and I said, well, give him your phone. He's like, I'm not giving him my phone. He didn't want the phone taken away. And then he looked at me and I said, well, everybody knew that I had a taser / stun gun prior. My kids and my family was threatened. The police department knows about it. I went down, I made a report with Officer Bunce, and told him that I'm going to do what I can to protect my family because there was a kid who kept posting these things on Snapchat, which I probably have still copies of everything to the officers. I had purchased the stun gun prior to that, and the officers, they all knew. Like, they knew that I was going to do what I could because the threats were very serious. Guns, like, very serious. But my kids, my 15-year-old and my 10-year-old kept trying to play and wanted to mess with it, and I'm like, no. I told him, get rid of it, put it in the attic, hide it so they can't find it. Because the kids go up in the attic to grab baseball stuff. Back then they did, you know, the younger ones. So he put it away, and it wasn't touched again.
So, excuse me, you had a real stun gun,
yes.
But you're saying it was not involved in this incident?
Absolutely not. It was a phone.
Okay, and the stun gun was up in the attic?
Yes.
And are you aware of what happened to the stun gun at the time of the incident? Like, did somebody get it from the attic?
When my son had gotten threatened, he didn't want to give him the phone.
Threatened that he was going to be put in jail?
Be brought to Corrigan right then and there. I kept just saying get a warrant, because my son didn't even live with me. He didn't even live with me. Like, why aren't they searching his car? Like, why are they coming at me? Like, you know, like if I was going to get arrested or something, it should have been for, you know, me defending myself in front of my home.
So your son wanted you to produce the real stun gun that was up in the attic?
Yes, because he didn't want his phone taken.
Okay. So then what happened?
So I told my husband to get it because, like I said.
You went inside the house?
I had him, I believe I texted, did I text? No, I went in. I went in with officers and I said, can you
Your
get
husband
this?
Was still inside the house?
Yes. Okay. Still in with the door shut.
Okay. So you went in and you said to him?
That we need the stun gun.
And what did he do?
He looked confused as crap.
Okay. And then what happened?
He went and got it.
Okay.
And then they took him out. And I was like, are you kidding me? And that's exactly what had happened.
Okay.
The only time he was outside for that night was when they put him in cuffs and took him out in front of my children that he was in the home with the whole time.
Okay. So in other words, when he gave them the stun gun,
yes.
That was in the attic the whole time?
Yes.
Okay. I have no further questions of this witness.
Thank you.
Chief, do you have questions of the appellant's wife?
I do not.
Does the board have questions of the appellant's wife?
So if you know why did they charge him with breach of the peace or with creating a disturbance or whatever it was, threatening if he was in the house all the time? Why was he charged?
He shouldn't have been charged. I was just as confused. I'm like, why is he being charged? They claimed he was on the scene. The chief was on the scene. At the time, he was a sergeant. The other officer claimed that it was interfering, that he hid something, the weapon. But it wasn't used, and that was put away like months prior.
So it's your testimony, and correct me if I'm wrong, that his only involvement with this was after the altercation when he came down when the police were already there?
Yes. After everything, the police came in with me, and I said, we need the stun gun because my son didn't want to give up his phone because he didn't want them to take the phone, which I understand. Phones are very expensive, and we didn't know what was going to happen. I kept pushing for a warrant. They scared the crap out of my son, saying that they were going to take him to Corrigan. I don't understand why they even were trying to get into my home when my son did this and didn't even live with me at the time and still doesn't live with me. I mean, he's changed. People change. But it was definitely a phone app, and the only time he had any involvement was when the police pulled him out my home in handcuffs for no reason.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
Yes, but did you make any attempt to try to clarify this with the officers?
Yes, they did not care. They said that he hid that stun gun and he's responsible, and I said, absolutely not, he did not. Nobody would listen to me. I had emailed his court-appointed attorney, which was a public defender. I kept telling her, I'm like, he had no knowledge of anything that happened outside. Like, literally, I'm not lying. I kept trying to help him in any way possible because he really didn't. He was in the house with our children on the couch while my 3-year-old was falling asleep and my 10-year-old was laying next to him, and they were in the house. AC running, they had no idea what was going on until we came in. And then they pulled him out and arrested him. After he got the stun gun that he had prior hidden, it had already been hidden. I had him hide it, like I said, because my other two kids kept trying to mess with it, my 10-year-old and 15-year-old at the time. So I said, put it in the attic.
How long ago was the stun gun actually hidden in the attic?
Prior to that, I want to say at least a month. At least a month, maybe a little bit longer. It was up there for some time.
So you, when this was going on, the police were interviewing your son. How did the conversation come about between you and him to say, you know, I don't want to lose my phone because I use my phone. Go get the stun gun that's hidden in the house.
Because he didn't live with me. So the officer let him come back over. We were all sitting outside, and I kept telling him to get a warrant. And he kept going over to the officers, coming back, and I'm like, dude, what do you want me to do? And then he's like, well, you have that taser. And I'm like, give him your phone, show him it. Show him the phone, show him the app, and he's like, I'm not having my phone taken. I mean, phones are expensive. You don't know if the officer's going to take the phone or not. And I'm like, whatever. It's just, at this point, we had literally been out there for hours. So at that point, I'm like, whatever. I'll just get the stun gun that's been up in my attic for a month or a month and a half and be done with it. Because at that point, I was over it. But they definitely pushed and bullied him into saying that he had, you know, it was a huge mess. Never should have happened. The girl shouldn't have been standing outside waiting for me at my home. Like, it was a very twisted situation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions?
Yes, so based on what you said, then my understanding is you purposefully deceived the police.
What do you mean?
By producing a stun gun that wasn't actually involved in the situation.
Oh, no, well, what had happened was is the officer was bullying my son to the point where they threatened to take him to Corrigan if they did not have a stun gun. So in his mind is he needed to produce a stun gun. And I told my son, I said, what if I didn't have one? Then what?
But you agreed to do that.
I did for my son. But again, I kept trying to push for the warrant because he didn't even live with me. They didn't search his car. They didn't do any of that. They just wanted to get into my apartment. They didn't search my neighbors. I mean, this was up in my attic for quite some time. It was more of the bullying type, you know, like pressuring, and he was scared. He wasn't older. I mean, he was pretty young. I mean,
how old was he?
7 years ago. He's 19, 18.
And clarify for me, which car again?
That is a prison in Mottville, and I know that because his biological father was in there for a very long time.
Other questions? Okay, Attorney Sherman, we're going back to the appellant?
Yeah, thank you. So, you heard your wife's testimony. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Please, you got to speak
yes.
up. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, you were inside the house the entire time of this incident. Okay.
Yes.
Did your wife tell you to go and get the stun gun from the attic?
Yeah, when she came in.
Please speak up.
Yes, when she came in.
When she came
the
in.
The officers, yes.
So you got the stun gun from the attic, gave it to the police?
Yes.
Okay.
I had no clue what was going on. I was sitting watching TV the whole time. And then they all came in and said, produce the stun gun. And I went up and got the one that we had.
So your wife just said, go get the stun gun and give it to the police?
Yes.
And you did it?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I have anything further.
Chief, do you have questions for the appellant?
I do not.
Does the board have questions for the appellant?
So why didn't you disclose the 99 and the 17 arrests?
Well, 99, like I said, 99 I didn't know because I thought I just had to get the copies of the one that in here from the New London Courthouse. I thought I was just, that's everything I was on it. And because back then in 99, they were supposed to be erased off my record after 7 years, so I thought maybe that was erased. I didn't know I have to go to two different states to get those. So like I said, the Rhode Island one and the Connecticut one. I gave all the Connecticut ones. I didn't know I had to go to Rhode Island to get that one too.
Other questions?
Were you aware of the 1999 arrest?
Yeah, I remember it. I just didn't know, like I said, I didn't know I had to put it down because it was supposed to be erased. I didn't know. Like I said, I'm just a regular person. I didn't know what I was supposed to put down, if I was supposed to put it down or not. But like I said, back then, it was supposed to be erased after 7 years. So I thought maybe it was erased. I wasn't trying. I guess I put everything in there that I was that I had. And I said, see the back papers and everything, thinking that everything was there that it was supposed to put down.
What was the extradition arrest in 2000?
That was when for the 99 incident. I had court. I was supposed to go to court, and I missed that. And then I was in Connecticut, and then it turned into Connecticut.
Gotcha.
That's why.
Any other questions?
Just for the incident that occurred in 2017. You were just charged with interfering?
Yes.
Okay. You listed never mind. I thought I saw something regarding a dangerous weapon or something. But never mind. Okay.
No other questions?
In my notes, and correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that the original charges were possession of a dangerous weapon and threatening in the second degree, reduced to creating a public disturbance.
That was my son. That was my son.
That was
not him.
Right.
That was not him.
I believe so.
Okay. That would make more sense.
Yeah, that's right.
Any other questions? Seeing none.
I have one, please.
Yes, go ahead.
If I can remember it now. Sorry. Oh, I just want to make it clear. I think he's answered this, but just to make it very clear, to provide the information to the police for your application, you went to the London Courthouse.
Yes.
You asked them to give you everything they had on you.
Yes.
And you turned that over to the police.
Yes, sir.
And at that time, you thought that that was all you needed to do. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions from anybody based on that question?
I have a separate question.
Sure.
So just looking through the paperwork you provided, so your 2009, 2010 arrests that were dismissed, noted family violence cases, who's the family member involved in that? Who was the victim? Okay.
We're pointing at the wife.
Yes.
Answer verbal.
We've grown up.
Okay. Thank you. Just curious. So.
Also have questions? All right, Attorney Sherman, I'm going to like to make a closing statement.
Yes, I would, please. What a messy little case. It has so many different directions. So one thing at a time. I understand and respect the issuing authority's right to have a correct application and expectation of a correct application. I think it's a pretty tough argument in this case, though, that the appellant was trying to deceive anybody. He went to the courthouse, he got what he could get. He disclosed a whole bunch of cases on his application form that he didn't need to disclose, totally missing the two that he did need to disclose. As the chief testified, if we were to order a record check from the State Police Bureau of Identification, infractions don't show up. He would be shown as having no criminal record in this state because an infraction is not a crime. A crime by definition is something you can go to jail for. You can't go to jail for an infraction. It's a misdemeanor or a felony to be a crime. So it doesn't show up on the criminal history from the State Police Bureau of Identification. So I don't think that he was acting in anything other than good faith and perhaps some ignorance in his attempt to fill out the application form, and he did a lot better here than many appellants who've been in front of this board who just put down nothing, checked off nothing and wrote nothing. He did his best here to disclose. The case when he was 18 years old in Rhode Island, there's no violence involved. We're talking more than 20 years ago. It falls under the category of stupid kid stuff, going to a junkyard at night and with a bunch of friends who were trying to steal auto parts. In this state, that offense would have been eligible for the Clean Slate Act by now. As far as the 2017 arrest in Waterford, I'm sure the board members can understand why I asked the wife to testify first, because the appellant doesn't really know what happened. All he knows is his wife came to him and said, get the stun gun, give it to the police. The next thing he knows, he's arrested. He wasn't involved in any threatening, breach of peace, or anything like that. He wasn't making a knowing attempt to deceive anybody. His wife said, give him the stun gun. Okay. I have to say, I learned something. I didn't know there was an app that looked like a stun gun on your phone. It's amazing what people will come up with for phone apps. But I think the bottom line is, also in view of the fact that that was 7 years ago, and there's been no further trouble. He had some troubles with his wife. Again, we're talking 15 years ago. He's a suitable person. That's the end of my argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Sherman. Chief, would you like to make a closing statement?
Yeah, thank you. I know today we spent a lot of time talking about the 2017 case. I do disagree on one point that was mentioned. I clearly do remember speaking with the appellant outside that night for quite some time, including close to the back of the cruiser where the other gentleman was seated. But even in their testimony today, the appellant's and his spouse's testimony, they admitted to the improper storage of a weapon when their children were trying to get near it in a house. And so part of the application process and the concerns that I mentioned at the beginning was proper storage of a firearm. And so the application process and understanding the firearm responsibilities was one of my concerns. The suitability was the other, including the 2017 case.
Thank you.
This is a denial by the Waterford Police Department. The basis of the denial is for suitability. The basis of denial had 2 points. On the application, the appellant failed to list 2 arrests. One from Connecticut in 2017 and one from Rhode Island in 1999. Under that section, the appellant did list 5 cases, 5 nollie cases that he wasn't required to disclose. under the have you ever been convicted section, the appellant didn't check any of the boxes, but did supply paperwork from the New London court regarding all his cases. The appellant testified that he, you know, thought he provided all the information available that was on his record to the police at the time. The second part was a case that was discussed in 2017, neighborhood dispute, in which the appellant was subsequently arrested for interfering, which was subbed down to creating public disturbance.
Comments by the board?
This is pretty puzzling from a number of reasons. I agree with Attorney Sherman on that. The appellant disclosed a number of arrests, but didn't disclose more recent arrests, especially the night of August 30th, 2017, that his wife testified quite convincingly and at great length. That's a pretty vivid incident. And he was arrested. Whether the arrest was justified or not is kind of irrelevant. I mean, the grounds for the revocation is that those arrests were not disclosed. So he disclosed some. He didn't disclose all of them. And yet the one that probably was the most standout wasn't even mentioned. On the other hand, again, listening to his wife's testimony, it seems very credible that he really was only tangentially involved with this. I take the chief's point that the taser may have not been, cell phone, stun gun, thank you, was not stored properly, but yet it was up in the attic. It wasn't like it was sitting on a coffee table in the living room. So I'm this way, that way on this case.
Other comments? Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Colonel Overture.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
I'm puzzled.
He is not an option.
Okay, so when I'm puzzled like this, I guess I have to give the appellant the benefit of the doubt, so I'll vote for the appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
I'm concerned about the non-disclosure of the 2017 incident, given that it was so notorious. So I'm going to uphold the issue of authority.
So it comes down to you.
Well, I think it's good he didn't check the box on the application that says, have you ever been convicted? Not sure what to put here. There is so much debate. There has been so much debate here about what a crime is, and we all have our different takes on it. Oxford Dictionary says an action or omission that constitute an offense that may be prosecuted by the state and is punishable by law. So, I mean, it was prosecuted by the state. It was punishable by law. There's, a bond forfeiture. If it came down to an infraction, I tend to agree with Attorney Sherman that it's really confusing what constitutes a crime.
The crime goes for arrested, not convicted.
Yeah, so is an infraction going to be a crime?
They're not for the conviction, for the convicted section.
Yeah.
It doesn't ask it, doesn't say it has to be a crime.
Yeah, have you ever been convicted of a crime?
On the other hand, we don't put down convictions for stop signs, which are infractions.
True. I'm going to give the appellant the benefit of the doubt. I vote for the appellant 3-2 in favor of the appellant.
Thank you.
Thank you.